It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. Book of Revelation is what we're studying in, having a good time, Revelation chapter 5. And please that you will turn to go to verse 4, Revelation chapter 5, verse 4. And that's where we're going to start today. While you're opening your Bibles to that text, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43. If you'd like to call us here at the church, phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And I hope that that was enough time for you. I don't know if I finished the address. It's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I think I missed that a while ago. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 4. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Let's begin with prayer now before we start the study. Father, thank you today that we can come enjoy this precious word. You just show us your strength and your power, dear Lord. Please just show us your strength. It's just so important, dear Lord, that we walk each day with you and we serve you. I just ask for your wisdom. I ask for your strength. I ask that you will guide and lead us through this study today. Father, as always, we review for just a little bit and then we get right into the study. Show us your way. Show us your wisdom. Have the ears of those that are lost. Have those ears to hear today. They've undoubtedly never heard, or they would have responded and come. We just ask today that the ears are opened, the mind and the heart, and those come by faith to you and are saved. They need to meet you at Calvary, where you died on the cross, sacrificed your life for theirs, gave your life for theirs. You are that perfect sacrifice. Please, dear Lord, please just touch every heart, those that are lost, those that are saved. Just grow us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were together, we looked at some verses of Scripture. And we looked at the wife and how she was redeemed, the slave and how he'd been redeemed. And I hope that you didn't miss that study, because it is a super study. And we are waiting now for the last and final, and that last redemption that we're looking for will be for the creation. This chapter 5 is talking about just that. The only redemption not yet accomplished in the law of redemption in Israel is the land. Jesus will redeem the land when he comes with his saints. This will take place approximately 7 years after the church is raptured. Today the land groans and travails under the curse of sin. All creation groans and travails, awaiting the redemption that will be brought about when Jesus comes to lift the curse, to put Satan into the bottomless pit where he belongs. Adam is the head, given the authority to be the head of this creation, all that's terrestrial. Therefore, when Adam fell, all fell. And as we talked about, the thistles, the thorns, the sorrow, all this was brought about because of the curse of sin. We needed someone that was worthy. As we have read this now for a couple of times, John was really upset because there didn't appear to be anyone worthy. And then one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Root of David, the near kinsman of Adam." Adam is one that lost the right to reign over the earth. Adam became the slave of sin and the slave to the devil. And Jesus was willing to pay the redemptive price, as we talked about this in the last couple of studies. And I hope that you were able to hear that. If not, why, please just go to the website and look up the last couple of weeks, and you will find these messages, these studies, so that you can catch yourself up. It's very good to know that there this means of redemption, and there's one still to come. He came to lay down his life, the Lord Jesus did, and Jesus was able to pay the price that was owed. And it said here, "Thou art worthy." And he came and he took the book, and we're down to the 7th verse. 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, the four beasts or four living creatures fell down before the Lamb. And so music began to play. What a glorious, wonderful day. I'll read verse 7 and verse 8, and that begins, that brings us up to date to where we are. "And he came, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song." They sung a new song. Every one of them had these musical instruments, and they played beautiful music in praise and worship unto their God. The incense altar that we looked at in Exodus chapter 37, verse 25, is also called the prayer altar. And so we have the incense altar, the prayer altar. And look at this 8th verse. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." You wonder why we've always called the incense altar the prayer altar? It's because you take Scripture and confirm it with Scripture and confirm it with Scripture. And it's wonderful to study the Word of God. And so please, I ask you that you study the Word of God. You know, so many people want something so comfortable and so easy to read. We need to read the Word of God. Don't be bragging about how many times you've read the book. How much have you retained? How much have you really studied the Word of God and enjoyed it? Please, my dear friend, take time. Take time to study the precious Scripture. This golden vials full of odors, as we find this equal to the incense altar, and this incense poured into the Holy of Holies, where was the presence of God. And so, as we look now, these full vials, they were actually broad, shallow cups of incense. And it says, which are the prayers of the saints. God loves to hear the prayers of his saints, of those that have believed. And so the true prayers, they are a sweet, sweet perfume that flows into the presence of God. It would seem that the prayers of saints will be used in worship, in worshiping the Lamb, after he has declared, after he has been declared worthy to open the seals of this scroll. What a wonderful gift, what a wonderful honor that we can lift up prayers. We've talked about it before. It's not good that our prayers just be a shopping list. You're preparing to go to the grocery store, and so you make a list. And you go down through and you check this item, and depending on whether you have coupons or not, then you come home with a given amount of things that you went for. So you got a shopping list, and some things were a little too expensive, so you decided not to buy them. Well, I'm afraid that most of our prayers many times are just like that shopping list. We prepare a list of wants. Most of the time, they are wants. They're not necessarily needs. And then we lift those wants up unto God and says, here they are. Now, I've come shopping. Now, give them to me. That's not the prayers that are really blessing to the Lord. Prayers that are blessings to the Lord are prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers for others. Those are prayers that the Lord loves to hear. And so let's see that our prayer life fits that. Have you sent any prayers up to the Lord that would be worthy to be bottled and used for later time, such a time as this? Or are your prayers much like your shopping list? We come now to this music and the prayers, and now we find a new song. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Many people look at that word blood there and say that means his death. That means his blood. For thou wast slain. That's where he was killed. That's where he died. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've trusted in him. But never miss the precious power of the blood. You want a battle? You'll probably get one when you stand true to the redemptive work of Christ. When you stand and say it's by grace and grace alone, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his power, by his grace, by us having faith in him, believing that he saves us, we have salvation. Please trust in the Lord Jesus today. What wonderful words here. What a glorious song. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book. Thou art worthy to open the seals. Why art thou worthy? Thou art worthy because thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God. This redemption was purchased at the tremendous price of your own blood. The redemption he purchased with his blood is for every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's this new song. What a beautiful, beautiful new song. That's why. That's why, my dear friend, he is worthy. I hope you know him as your Savior. I hope you've trusted in him. This song here in Revelation is termed a new song. Its theme is redemption. When fully accomplished, it will create all things new. What a joy. What a joy. And they sang a new song, verse 9, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. Therefore, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That reigning upon the earth will be for 1,000 years, called the millennial reign. I hope that you know your precious word. All things are new. In the end, all things will be new. All evil, all old things as a result of sin will be put down, put away, totally destroyed. There will be no comparison between the old song of Israel and this new song of redemption. The redeemed, Jews, Gentiles alike, bond or free, rich or poor, all sing of him and to him. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful new song. They sing, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. In all this, the lion gives place to the lamb. Isn't it something that the lamb slain shuts out all else? The lamb slain is given full attention of all of heaven's creatures. The lion steps aside. The lamb is the center. If the lion of the tribe of Judah always remained the lion, this book could never be opened. The lion represents might and power. He will defend the cause of Israel. He will give the total victory to all that believe. But for this moment, the important thing is to remove the seals, and only the Lamb can do that. What a tremendous study. What a tremendous study. What a calling and an opening of the door for the nation of Israel. You've heard me say it many times, and it seems that as time passes, there are more and more folks that are not willing to stand with Israel. We must stand with Israel. We must. We have no choice. We should desire to because it's God's chosen. We should desire to because God's word tells us to as believers. But the world, the devil, his followers, there are multitudes of them, hate and despise Israel and are setting out to do everything they can do to totally destroy and annihilate Israel. You see, the devil hates a believer, a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil hates the nation of Israel because God's chosen people. Anything God loves, the devil hates. If you want to see the lion, look to Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. We can turn there very quickly. It's not very far away. Revelation 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down, worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The Lion. For this redemption of the earth is to be carried out, the seals must be opened. For this to happen, these seals we're looking at here must be opened. Redemption was not gained by power or authority, but because thou hast been slain. This met with God's demands concerning redemption. Without the cross, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. There is no hope of victory. There's no hope of redemption. There could have been no redemption for sinners on the earth, for any. For the cross of Jesus, it's been said, is the grandest counsel of all eternity. The cross of Jesus is the grandest fact of all times. The cross of Jesus is the grandest, most glorious display of love heaven and earth has ever gazed upon. Without the cross, there could be no redemption. Whether it be the wife, the slave, or the land. Verse 10. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Kings and priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We've read this before. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen generation, royal priesthood. You see what happens when we trust in Jesus, we believe in him, we become kings and priests. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. After Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I don't know if you've ever enjoyed a study that we've had with the tabernacle, because that gives us such a beautiful picture of what the Lord is talking about. If you have not studied Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of Moses, need to do that. You need to do that. And when you get to Exodus, you're going to find a building that is called the tabernacle. Most folks recall when Moses at Mount Sinai, after delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, that at that time there was they received the law at Mount Sinai. Ask somebody, what did he bring down off of Mount Sinai when he went up and met with God? And they'll tell you the Ten Commandments, the law. And that's true. But also, he received the plans to the tabernacle. The law is judgment. The law condemns. Every time that God brings condemnation, he brings grace. He supplies all the grace abundantly, more than's ever needed. And this is no different. Even way back in the book of Exodus, when Moses returned, he had the law that condemned. The plans, the tabernacle, the offerings, the sacrifices, that was God's grace. Salvation was found there. Once again, through the shedding of blood. What a beautiful picture. Beautiful, beautiful picture. The tabernacle, the only one that could enter into the tabernacle were priests. So you see, that makes it such a beautiful picture because we, when we believe, have become priests. We can enjoy that walk into the holy place, and because Jesus has finished the work of redemption, we can go right through the veil into the Holy of Holies to the presence of God. And that picture we possess with the tabernacle. So when you read here, we can become priests, what's that mean? Well, if you have studied the tabernacle back in Exodus, you know what that means. It means salvation comes through the cross, the brazen altar. Washing comes through the brazen laver that's out in the courtyard. Then we get to come in after the washing of the word. Then we get to come in and we get to enjoy, by the light of the Lord Jesus, the table of showbread. We get to feed upon the table of showbread. And then that's where we find this incense altar that we've talked about. It's in that same room. All can be seen and enjoyed because of the light of Jesus, the lampstand. It's a picture, perfect picture of Jesus Christ. Please, please study that. Don't miss that. It's a tremendous, tremendous picture that we have. And so, now, you have seen by the other scripture verses, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him on the earth. We're going to reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years here upon earth. Jews and Gentiles, bond or free, rich or poor, all that are born again will be there. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a royal priest. You are a king because of his shed blood, because of the redemption that is in his blood that was shed on Calvary. We have the opportunity. We are kings and priests, according to the word of God. We are now the sons of God. We now sit together with him in heavenly places. All this is because one has been found worthy to open the seals and to make known the redemptive terms of the earth. We are told we will reign right here on earth. Jesus will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and reign, and we will reign with him. What a glorious, glorious day. What a glorious study. We'll begin there next time we have an opportunity to come together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?